RandomChatter.com presents
Oliver Queen,
an Arrow podcast.
Now I will fulfill my father's dying wish.
Dedicated to the discussion of the Arrow television series.
Bring down those who are poisoning my city. To do this, I must become someone else. I must become
Green Justice. Welcome back, everybody, to 2017 and a new episode of Green Justice, an Arrow podcast. I'm your host, Jay.
And I'm Doppelganger Josh.
And you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show Arrow, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes. Welcome back to the second half of Season 5. If this is your first time with us, thank you for joining us on Green Justice, where we talk about doppelgangers and time travel and no wait that's the Flash, isn't it?
Sometimes.
Wait, why are we, but we're talking about it this week. That's a conundrum.
It's one big happy universe, as opposed to the movie DC universe, which is one big scary depressing universe.
Yeah, well, it's at least a big universe. I don't know about happy universe. Yeah, but I don't know if it's happy. I'm just
probably
saying
not. yeah
There are very very few happy people, especially on this episode. But
there's plenty of happy people, but that's only right before they die.
True. And yeah, I was hoping we'd get to see some other characters. They, was hoping we'd like get a check in on Lance a little bit. There was a lot of interesting stuff going on. I know I saw some comments from some people. I think it was on Twitter, they were this person was a little bit disappointed because the trailer ruined the reveal of Laurel on this episode. And I get, you know, the thing is, I think if you are a fan of this show and potentially with The Flash as well, if you do pay attention and you watch the trailers and the previews and the clips in advance of watching an episode, and you're smart and you're paying attention,
yeah,
I feel like you're gonna be, you know, several steps ahead of just the average viewer.
Sure. Well, and I will state again my personal philosophy about spoilers, that if you're enjoying the show anyway, then knowing that something's gonna happen is not going to spoil the whole show for you. So, I mean, if you are relying on shocking surprises.
Yes.
To receive your enjoyment from any show, uh-huh, then you might not enjoy the show as much as you think you do.
As a quick aside to your spoiler policy there.
Yes.
I have not been a fan of M. Night Shyamalan for quite a while now. Basically, I think Signs was the last thing I saw that I enjoyed. And then
you
I saw
are
something
not alone
after
that.
No, I know, and I know. And he completely destroyed Avatar The Last Airbender, which I'm a huge fan of the cartoon, but my God, what a train wreck. What a water wreck. So I don't really care about any of his films. Like, I like reading people just who watch him and hate watch him and rip him apart, like After Earth. Like, there was a great bad review of it that was just hilarious to read. So I heard about this new film, Split, coming out, and someone said, here's the spoiler. You know, we've got this for you. You know, don't click in here. And I'm like, I don't care. So I clicked in and I read what the spoiler was, like what the big twist at the ending was.
Yep.
Damned if I don't want to go see that movie now. It sounds like he's kind of getting back to where he used to be. I don't want to even get anywhere near specific, because this is one of those things where, like, I think this film will be like his stepping stone to getting back into like directing actually good stuff. Again, now I know what the spoiler is, but you know, I haven't experienced, I only know it from
right.
You know, somebody telling me. So, but
well, and
it really makes me want to see the film now.
I've often used his movies, some of his, you know, better movies, as examples or evidence, I guess, in kind of my argument. And yes, not knowing the big reveals at the end of those movies, that made those movies better the first time around. But then you could go back and catch some of the things. My top M. Night Shyamalan movie, if I have to pick favorites, would have been Sixth Sense. And watching through that again, what you can do is you can look for all of the symbolic items in that movie mm-hmm. that kind of lead up to that, which is what made it probably an enjoyable movie overall. But, you know, I can still watch it. So anyway, so that's, you know, that's just me personally. I know people are hugely, they really, really don't like to be spoiled. And I guess I can understand that. I just don't necessarily agree from my point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and everybody has a little bit different take on that. And I am enjoying this discussion on film. Unfortunately, unfortunately, this is our Arrow podcast. If you want to, you know, more other kind of random stuff like this, check out our Random Chatter podcast here, which is sometimes they talk about film. Sometimes they talk about other stuff. It could, you know, who knows what it's going to be on any given week. And it doesn't even have a regular release schedule or anything like that. So
there you go. You can check those out. Or other tangents we go off on our superhero shows, as we often do.
Yeah. So what we've been away for about 5-6 weeks now? 6 weeks,
yep.
I guess?
Yep. It feels like a long time because so much has happened between now and then. But
every day feels like a month. What's the quote from Star Trek 2? Hours would seem like days. So, and days, yes, just drag on.
That's why Khan totally did not set his DVR for all of his favorite shows, because he thought it was going to be days before they came back, and really, they were already over, so...
Oh, that's a shame.
That never rely shame. On him. Yeah.
He just wants to go on hurting. So what episode did we see this week? What are we back with here in January?
We are going to be talking about the 10th episode from season 5.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Who?
No, I'm asking who. Oh, this is Jay. I thought I lost you there for a second. That's somebody else. Yep. Who are you? Aired January 25th. 2017. Man, it's been a long time since we've started that first episode already.
Yeah.
It feels like a lot of years, but written by Ben Sokolowski and Brian Ford Sullivan and directed by Gregory Smith.
Okay.
Okay.
All regular names.
All regular names, yes. Well, Sokolowski, that's a little more rare.
But. No, I meant... We know these people. They have worked on the show before.
They have been on the show before.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Well, I woke up in the Arrow cave and Ollie knew my name. He said he'd believe I was Laurel if I can scream loud and walk away. Well, tell me, who are you?
Who?
No, I really want to know. But luckily, we pick up right where we left off in December, standing in front of a woman who is almost but not quite entirely Laurel Lance. I'm glad they didn't, like, stand there for a month just staring back at each other, like they often do on Arrow in real time, you know? He's just standing there for a month going, no, are you?
Is it really you?
Well, anyway, you know, Team Arrow is smart, relatively speaking, and they discover quite quickly that this is none other than Black Siren, the doppelganger of Laurel Lance from Earth 2. For further information and understanding of parallel universes, see The Flash, Season 2, Episode 22, 15, 17, 3 through 13 inclusively, and most of the rest of the series. Black Siren was rescued from the prisoner pipeline in Central City at Star Labs, but Prometheus coerced her into helping him get under the skin of Oliver. And she does a pretty good job of it, too, but Felicity's having none of it. She doesn't trust her. And she just thinks that Oliver's trying to redeem himself for the real Laurel's death. But, of course, you know,
she would not be wrong.
No, she would not. No, of course not. So they have their little tete-a-tete, discuss it all out with each other, and they work it out. Because, you know, that's what good friends do. So, just like, you know, Renee and Curtis, who are dealing with Curtis's sadness. And, and hot-headedness and frustration. Throwing up against the wall frustration, that's what that is. And his heartbreak, you know, after the events from earlier this season. Well, meanwhile, District Attorney Chase has agreed to help Diggle win his legal battle against the nefarious General Walker. who I found much more intimidating in his full general uniform. I don't know about you, but.
Oh, yeah. He's much more, intimidating. A lot of machismo going on with that.
But back in that first episode we met him, he was wearing those, what do you call the camouflage? The camos.
Camo, just his scrubs or something, maybe. I don't know if that's kind of all the same,
but general uniform, man, he was mean. He scared me. But he may, Adrian Chase, he might actually be able to help Diggle, believe it or not. He was pretty intimidating himself, but in the end, all of our friends, they realize that they're just going to have to find a new Black Canary. That's just how it goes. The first one they ordered went, all bad. And the second one, she just wasn't quite right, but they're just going to have to go out and find a new one. So probably one that doesn't know the team has more emotional baggage than a baby convention at a suitcase factory. So, no problem.
A baby convention at a suitcase factory?
That's emotional baggage,
Yeah.
It's not easy to find a metaphor for emotional baggage.
No, arrow and metaphors are like oil and, gravel. It's just, it does not really lend itself properly. I don't know. So, well, hey, in the time that we have been off, there has been some news. Now, of course, a lot of the news does have to do with, titles of episodes, the directors, writers, that kind of stuff that are coming up. But we did find out that Oliver finally gets off that damn island. Arrow's been renewed for a sixth season. So let's celebrate. That was kind of a surprise here in January to find out that CW has renewed all four of their superhero shows, all four of the DC superhero shows. I can't even really say that. Yes, I guess I could, because iZombie would not really be considered a superhero show if that were to be renewed. So Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, Legends of Tomorrow, all renewed for the next season. So that's pretty exciting. I'm curious how they're going to work the kind of the format of Arrow here for the next year.
Well, I am always curious about how they work the format of Arrow, because I've said before, like it or not like it, they try to reinvent themselves every season. Sometimes they succeed more than others, depending on who you ask. And now that they are kind of unchained from the quote-unquote island, I guess, I think they might be able to go in a completely different direction. I'm anxious to find out.
As someone had suggested to me, it's really going to be flashbacks to like 5 minutes ago where he's like, yeah, remember that? And they're like, we're standing right here. We just went over this.
After 5 minutes in hell.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Waiting in line to get a coffee or what's
that? Danish. Well, in other good news, around Christmas time, DC creative director Jeff Johns had tweeted out that they had some good news and there was potential to find out about a new series. He was teasing that there was a potential new DC property that was going to be worked on. And it looks like right here early in January, we got news that Matt Ryan will be returning as the voice of John Constantine. Now, he is currently be found doing the voice of John Constantine in the DVD and Blu-ray direct release of Justice League Dark, which is, I believe, is available now for digital download if it's not already available in physical media. He's not coming back to the Arrow show, but he will still be in the Arrow universe, and they're going to do a 5 or 6 episodes that will be about 10 minutes long each, and they will premiere on the CW Seed, which we have talked about previously. Currently, Vixen, I believe, has just had its second season there. And then there's another show that is coming called Freedom Fighter The Ray. And he's like a light-powered superhero.
Wait, the Ray, R-A-Y Ray? That Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, from the 90s.
From the Freedom Fighters, yeah. Yeah, from the 90s and previously the World War II.
Oh. Well, right. So I remember picking up that comic in the 90s when it first started.
Yeah, and he had been a member of he was along with like Phantom Lady and Uncle Sam and the Human Bomb. He was a member of the Freedom Fighters, which used to be published, it wasn't Charlton. It was another comic company that DC bought somewhere back in like the 60s, and they had adventures that were published in the 1970s and 80s. That took place during World War II, and then they've kind of reinvented these characters. So, that's pretty cool. So, for those of you that and want more of John Constantine, make sure to watch this on CW Seed, and that's a good way for them to continue making those adventures. And again, who knows? Maybe something else will happen, and Matt Ryan will be able to physically reprise his role as John Constantine in the Arrow universe at some point. So,
hope so.
Pretty cool. Yeah. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the episode here, Who Are You? As you gave a tremendous description of it there. I have to say, they really they got me at the beginning of this episode. Not in the mystery of who was or how did Laurel come back. Because I think when we had discussed this last, I said that I thought that the Earth 2 version of Laurel was probably a good way for them to go with this, but then she starts telling
us. It was the most logical explanation.
It seemed like it at the time. Yeah. Well, yeah, that would not be hokey. You're right. And so then they start, spinning this tale about how Laurel got rescued by her sister on the Wave Rider and was transported in time and all this stuff. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. Really? This is what they're choosing to do? Really? And the fact that Felicity seemed to embrace that, and of course, Oliver was, he didn't really seem to question it too. I mean, he did a little bit, but he was just so happy to have Laurel back. And then they have this party, and I'm like, this is horrible. This is like probably the worst comeback for the show like that I could imagine. And then Felicity, she knew the whole time she was going to be doing this DNA test, and it wasn't really Laurel. It was the other Laurel. So I got to say, that surprised me a little bit, because I felt that they were really falling into the old trap. And actually, Oliver was. And that was what a lot of this episode was dealing with, was Oliver's.
Now, when you say he was falling into the trap, you don't think he actually thought it was the real Laurel, do you? Or do you think he was just using
I don't
her
know
the
that
way
he cared. I don't
oh,
know
there
that
you
he
go.
Cared
there,
at that point.
That's a perfect way to describe it. I agree with you. I don't know that he ever bought into her being actually their Laurel Lance. But like you said, good description.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's anybody that has been wronged by him, or injured or killed because of him, he really carries this huge, huge chip on his shoulder for them. So if there was ever even a slight inkling of a chance that he could help Laurel, whether it was the real Laurel or a doppelganger of Laurel or someone just named Laurel or like a wreath that was
he's
Laurel.
Watching old Laurel and Hardy movies or
he will find some way to, save them and make it right again. There's a slight a bit of nobility with that. I think that's very chivalrous, I guess. That's not necessarily the word I'm looking for. There's some other sense that I want to convey there, but that's not quite doing it. But
it's honorable, I would say.
Yeah, but he is also just, it drives him too much. It's a mania with him. Because even after Oliver and Felicity kind of have their talk, And, you know, she's punching the punching bag and he coaches her and she's like all upset because he keeps calling her Laurel. And she's like, it's not Laurel, Laurel. It's, you know, it's this other Laurel. And like, you know, like I said, he really doesn't care. He doesn't see the distinction. He thinks he can still save this Laurel. I couldn't save my Laurel. I can save this other Laurel. It's like a transference of guilt from one person to another. It's like,
sure.
You know, if you were to have an accident where you had a car accident and you accidentally killed somebody, like, you know, if you had a chance to save somebody from a similar situation, you would, you know, do everything you could possibly do to protect them.
Right. Well, I mean, that falls well within the character of Oliver Queen. I mean, and that's one of the characteristics that I feel drives his heroic nature. And, you know, everybody's got their different characteristics. I mean, you look at Batman. Batman has spent his entire life basically trying to save Gotham, but because his parents died, right? I mean, that's why he became Batman. So, I think that is within Oliver's character. If he wasn't doing that, if he wasn't trying to redeem himself for mistakes that he's made, big mistakes, of course, right? Mm-hmm. Then I don't know that I would buy into that if he would just get over it that fast.
Well, there's a difference between trying to redeem yourself for mistakes that you made or that were made, you know, like talking about Batman and stuff like that, you know, trying to protect the innocent, I guess, you know, not wanting to see other parents get killed and leave their kids orphans. You know, he's trying to help with that. So I think there's a difference between, you know, atoning for that and then carrying it too far. And I think what the team was, I felt a very much a kinship with the team in this particular episode because everybody's just, they're worn down. I mean, Curtis,
time.
Definitely. We're going to talk a little bit more about Curtis here in a minute, but you know, Renee is just kind of fed up. Rory has no idea what's going on. You know, he only has one question, but actually he has a lot of questions. I thought that was a really nice line. You know, Felicity's kind of running her own little group. She is the counter argument to Oliver, and the team seems to be following her and her lead, especially when they had the little the attack, you know, down at the harbor and stuff. Because Oliver is just, he's so wrapped up in his head, and again, this is not new. This is what we've seen with Oliver. I think they've gotten a little bit smarter about portraying this on the show, but he's so wrapped up in his head that he's not functioning properly and, you know, allowing the team to do the work that they need to do. And there's a healing that needs to happen here. And he's basically continuing to pick at the old wounds and reopen them for, you know, for everybody. It's, you know, this obviously, Curtis and Renee and Rory didn't really know Laurel. Or if they had met her, you know, it was only like once or something like that. So, you know, it's probably really hard for, Felicity to see him going through this, I would think.
Oh, sure. Oh, and I thought actually in this one, he controlled it a little bit more, than what he has in the past. I mean, in the past, what he'll do is he'll kind of just dwell on it within himself and isolate himself from everybody else. And, you know, go out and beat up bad guys by himself and not let anybody join him or something like this. I mean, in this, he really never denied that this is what he was doing. I mean, when he talked with Felicity, he fully admitted that that's exactly what he was kind of thinking. But I mean, he had a few good points in there. Felicity,
like what?
Well, like, I mean, when Felicity ordered the attack, you know, on the docks there. We don't know exactly what Black Siren was going to say, what she was going to do with the phone, what was going to happen from that. And he was going to use her to try to get close to Prometheus. That was he may have also had other intentions with Laurel, but he was going to use her. So they could have used that evidence. Felicity kind of jumped the gun a little bit there. And, you know, in Oliver's defense, as a hero, the point is to you know, make the best of people without just instantly killing them. You know, just putting
yeah, agreed. Oliver is just taking a lot of unnecessary risks, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think that is what Felicity and the team is trying to point out.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to defend anybody. It was just I didn't mind the way they portrayed Oliver with her in this one. I agree with you, and I agree with them that he needed to not trust her so much. But I did like the way he was portrayed. So
okay, so he finally gets a chance to utter the title of the episode, and he asks Earth 2 Laurel, "Who are you?" Because someone had once talked to him about, you know, the difference between being poison or nectar, and he, you know, basically was offering her a chance to redeem herself. And as we saw in the final confrontation, you know, where he steps in between Black Siren and Felicity, where, you know, she was about to kill Felicity. Oliver steps in there and it's like, you know, you can, you know, I can help you get back to the point where, you know, you were before your parents died or left or whatever it was. And she basically says that, you know, there was no difference. You know, there's nowhere for her to go. So I don't know if they have, it seems like they've kind of shut that storyline down, even though they've left the door cracked a little bit, you know, cause he said, well, if there's ever the chance that I can redeem her, I can,
yeah.
But you know, for now she's in an Argus facility because God forbid anybody, you know, anybody can walk into that stupid Star Labs facility. It's
yeah,
crazy.
But now you have to pay if you're going to walk in.
Well, you know, they have pretty steep discounts. He could just, you know, come in and say he was with the school group.
That's true. That's true.
Not sure how Prometheus got in there. I saw that part and I'm like, wait, they didn't mention anything about this on the Flash. What the heck is going on? And I don't, you know, it didn't surprise me, again, because of their atrocious security system that they have at Star Labs. See, pretty much every Flash episode ever. We didn't even get, like, I was thinking we would even get like a little crossover with Cisco just talking on the phone with her or something like that. But it was a crossover without it being a crossover, or a cameo without it being a cameo. It was a cameo for Star Labs, I guess.
Yeah. Well, it was the connection with the universe. So,
A couple things about Prometheus here. The who are you question, as posed by the title, is still very much enforced with Prometheus. We don't have any good information. They tried to bring us back up to speed, which was good with the previously on section, but I still don't really know if I buy the fact that Prometheus is the son of this guy that Oliver killed. It just doesn't...
I am with you.
It's not dramatic enough, I guess.
Yeah, from a storytelling point of view, I don't know how powerful that is. You know, I don't know how much I care that he's the son of this guy. And not that that matters. I mean, he's a good villain. He can fight against him. But they were almost too obvious.
It's an interesting parallel with Oliver.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's an interesting parallel with Oliver, you know, but other than that, it doesn't have a lot else going for it.
Yeah. So, and I've heard people say, you know, they think it could be Adrian Chase, which, yeah, I guess it could. They kind of set him up or implied that he was somebody else and not Prometheus, but.
Yeah, that he's Vigilante.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still not sure, but I'm with you. I'm not convinced that it's the son of this guy.
So the other thing that confuses me, so what we've seen so far is we know that whoever Prometheus is had information given to him by Evelyn. Evelyn basically sold out the team. So he knows who Oliver is and all the secret identities and who all these people are. He probably knew who Laura was. All this information was fed to him. Now, is it possible that Evelyn also gave him information about Sarah and the Wave Rider and the legends and the fact that they're time travelers. That seems a little far-fetched, because how did he know all this information to give to Black Siren, unless Black Siren picked it up from overhearing people on the Flash talk, which I don't think there really was anything like that.
Not necessarily. Now, wouldn't Evelyn have known that some of that stuff, though?
I don't necessarily know how she would have.
Well, I mean, she hadn't betrayed them before the crossover, had she?
She might have, but she wasn't on the crossover, I don't believe.
No, she wasn't on the crossover. But I don't – and even if that timeline isn't accurate, there's no reason for me to believe that they don't talk about this stuff. You know, I mean, Oliver's known about the Wave Rider and Sarah and the time travel for a long time, since the beginning, because Ray came in and told not the Ray, like we were talking about earlier, but Ray Palmer, the Atom.
Ray Palmer. Uh-huh.
He talked to Oliver before he left. So I don't know. To me, there's no reason to believe that Evelyn wouldn't have known that stuff. Now, I don't know how much she shared with Prometheus. It seems like Prometheus knows a heck of a lot about Oliver anyway.
I just feel like he knows more than he could have been told by somebody, even a mole.
Yeah. I still feel like he is somebody closer to the team, closer to Oliver anyway, than some, you know, random guy that
had his dad
the son of, his dad killed 5 years ago. So, but that's kind of cool. I mean, that gives me something to keep speculating about.
Yeah, what popped up in my head because of the Earth 2 references with Laurel and stuff in this one is maybe he's the Earth 2 Oliver. That would answer pretty much every question, because he would know all sorts of stuff. But I don't know. That's pretty weird too. And why would he want to, you know, destroy Oliver here unless he was just really – I mean, that's – if you are a doppelganger of somebody and you come over from another universe and then all you want to do is kill your doppelganger, I mean, that's some crazy mixed up stuff.
Yeah. So, and not that this necessarily means anything, but Laurel did say that the Earth 2 Oliver had been dead for 10 years.
Oh, I know she mentioned that she was in love with him too. I know that, but
yeah. Now again, not that means anything. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean he really is dead or that isn't Prometheus, but she did mention that.
Yeah. So Prometheus also seems to have a tolerance for diazepam. And what is diazepam, you ask? Well, it was first marketed as Valium, and it's a medication in the benzodiazepine family that typically produces a calming effect. So he said basically that he has generated a tolerance for this. Why? What? That's weird. I thought of the same thing that you did.
Yeah, he spent the last few years building up an immunity to Iocane. I mean, diazepam.
Right. Inconceivable!
Maybe he was taking Mepizaed.
What?
Diazepam backwards so he can, you know, counteract. My only thought of that, because I thought the same thing as you. I don't know how he has a tolerance, but maybe he had a... what did he say? He said something like, you could say that I had a tolerance for diazepam or something.
Yeah. I mean, he used the word tolerance, yeah.
Maybe his his mask kind of filtered some of it out or something, so it didn't affect him as much or as fast.
I think he's been in an insane asylum or something like that. You know, it's going to be one of those crazy things where, you know, he was chained up, you know, and drugged and stuff like this, and...
That's
he's all better now.
That's that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought of that. And I don't know how much of a tolerance he does have, because that was kind of my reasoning behind why he left the fight so suddenly after Oliver kind of went to try to talk Laurel down.
Like super suddenly, like editing suddenly, like he's there and then we cut and he's not there.
Well, and I mean, he says he had a tolerance and he kind of escaped, but then, you know, maybe he didn't have that much of a tolerance and he kind of had to get out of there because he couldn't keep fighting. That's how I took that anyway. They could have just taken that line out, and it would have made sense to me that he had to get out of there before he passed out or felt really calm, and they just sat down cross-legged and started singing Kumbaya or something.
Well, while we're talking about Prometheus, I'd seen some speculation online, and I think somebody passed this on to us in Facebook or something like that at one point, but someone had suggested that the voice of Prometheus might be Michael Dorn, a.k.a. Worf from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, yes.
Or if you go way back, he was Bear on Chips.
Was he really?
Yeah.
I didn't even know that. And I like Star Trek. I thought I knew stuff like that.
Yeah, no, he was the one black guy on the police force in Chips, the original Chips, and as soon as I heard that, every time I hear Prometheus, it's like it's a very Michael Dorn esque voice. I mean, there is some what do you call it? Filtering that is being done to the voice, but it sounds very much like Michael Dorn. I'd be surprised if it wasn't. I'm also surprised they haven't told us who it is, because they've told us previously for The Flash who was doing the voice of Zoom, and also for Savitar this season, they've told us who is doing the voice for that, and they haven't told us who's doing the voice for Prometheus, which is interesting.
I wonder, here's just a little wild speculation, and not to discount the Michael Dorn theory, but what if the voice of Prometheus is actually who it's going to be revealed? And like you said, they've put in it, you know, they're putting it through auto-tune and everything. So, you know, but what if they've taken whoever is, it's ultimately going to be revealed. Okay. Tommy Merlin, and, changed his voice a little bit. And so when they do reveal it, that will be the voice. Maybe that's why they haven't told us.
I mean, that's totally possible, I guess. Okay. Well, I guess we'll see. I'm interested.
Or maybe it is Worf. Maybe Prometheus is Worf. Wasn't there a Prometheus ship in Star Trek? Wasn't there a ship in Prometheus?
I'm sure there was at some point there. So, I'm just, you know, I'm interested to see what they do with this, because, you know, it's kind of compelling as to, you know, what does this guy want and stuff. If they take it on too far, that's when, you know, we get to the part where it's like, well, we don't even care anymore. I feel like we need to get some more actual concrete stuff, not just Oliver and his team speculating, but like Prometheus monologuing about something to give us some more clues, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I would like to have them put little pieces of evidence, a trail for us to follow.
Yeah.
As the season wears on. That would be nice.
Now, you had a question about Black Siren here that I thought was kind of interesting.
As he was talking to her, both in the cell that they had set up with the soundproof plexiglass that you can talk through, and the they did explain that later. I'm not giving them a hard time. It was just fun.
Sure.
You know, in the warehouse or wherever they were. Yeah. I started to wonder, is there any good in this Laurel, in this version of Laurel? Much the way that we had kind of seen, if you watch The Flash 2, not The Flash 2, but Season 2, in Killer Frost from Earth 2.
Yeah.
So the doppelganger of Caitlin Snow. And they showed her a lot, and there, you know, there was a glimmer of goodness in her, and she did end up helping them a couple times, and she just had some bad things happen to her. So
yeah,
which is kind of what Laurel said, had, you know, some, she just started making some bad decisions and took the wrong path, and part of it was losing Oliver.
Right, and I mean, they've really made her an you know, evil and manipulative and bitter, I guess, would be a good way to describe it. And you know, it's probably, as Oliver was kind of pointing out, a consequence of the choices that she made, or what did he, it was, he had some weird mumbo jumbo that he used about it. It was, you know, consequences and of the, wasn't of their actions, but it, you know, it had some, it was something along those lines.
A circumstance, and, could make.
Yeah,
that
might have been it. Yeah, yeah, yep, yep. That quote. And you know, if it's been 10 years since Oliver died, I mean, she may have just been spending that entire time just getting herself, you know, tied up in knots so much that there, you know, there might be good, but it's probably buried in there. You know, it's, who knows it. She is so manipulative. I don't think we've got a really good sense of, you know, if there is anything in there, but I would say, yeah, absolutely. There is probably some good left in her. I mean, she destroyed that god awful Black Canary statue.
Oh.
And anyone who can do that gets a thumbs up in my book.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Thank you. See, she is on our side.
That was the ugliest tribute statue I have ever seen. So, sorry.
I don't know about that. They could have done better, though. And apparently it was hollow. Did you notice that?
Well, the head was hollow, and then the guys are trying to lift the piece, and it takes two guys to lift it up into the wheelbarrow. But, you know, it looked like it was just a big piece of plastic. So, I don't know. That's kind of silly. Hey, I want to take a few minutes here to talk about John Diggle and District Attorney Adrian Chase.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, I thought they are trying to correct what was a kind of an off the rails sequence where, you know, as Oliver explained it, it sounded completely silly coming from him as he's talking to Chase at the beginning. So it's like, why is John in jail? Oh, because he was wrongly framed, you know, wrongly accused of a crime he didn't commit. Oh, so why did he escape? Oh, because he's innocent. You know, that is, it's just, it still sounds ridiculous.
That's, it is, but it's true.
It's, oh, yeah, it's true, but it's just ridiculous. It's like, you know, well, why'd you do this? It's like, well, because I'm innocent. It's like, well, you know, we have channels to go through, but I like this. I like the way that Chase kind of, you know, conspiratorially talks to Oliver about this whole thing with Felicity's boyfriend.
Yeah.
You know, that we found this, we don't want to reveal that. And if we reveal that, you know, the Green Arrow killed him, then that would be bad. So we're just going to kind of try to keep this under wraps. It was, now, I thought the actor that plays him just did a really good job. And I really felt like, you know, this guy is okay. Like he does have the best interests of like the city. You know,
there you go. That's it right there. Now, as far as being okay, it depends on what he's willing to do in the best interests of the city. But
right now, if he is vigilante, we've seen some questionable tactics and motives.
Sure.
Or, you know, things that he'll do there. But
now, do you get the sense that he knows about Oliver? Does he know Oliver's secret?
I got that sense in that discussion in the mayor's office.
Okay.
I'm like, wait a second. Does he know about Oliver? I couldn't remember. He doesn't.
That we know. Not that we've seen.
Right.
I kind of went back and forth on this, but ultimately, I'm not sure that he does know. What I think is that he has a lot of respect, assuming that he is the vigilante. He has a lot of respect for Green Arrow and what he does. And I think he wants to protect that and knows how much Green Arrow does for Star City, which is why he kind of covered up a lot of that stuff. But now
he seems to have respect for Oliver too.
He does. Yeah. Now why he would tell Oliver that, you know, as the mayor,
right.
I think it's because of what you said, because he has respect for Oliver. He sees that Oliver's not just some, you know, mamby-pamby rich guy that mm-hmm. is in charge and doesn't know what he's doing or anything like
right,
that.
Right, right. Exactly.
Yeah, interesting. I really like this character. I'd like to actually see them focus more on his character and what's going to be happening to him than some of the other things that they've been doing this season. But maybe as we get closer to the end, they're going to start focusing on him because we haven't heard from the vigilante for a while.
Right. And the sequence where he kind of went up against the general in the hallway and, you know, the general was like, you know, I can have you disbarred, you know, in an instant because I've got the district attorney or the attorney general
yeah.
on speed dial. And he's like, you know, so, you know, this is how it's going to be. And Chase doesn't, he just kind of gives a mm-hmm. but he doesn't like nod his head. He doesn't move out of the way. He like really stands his ground. I mean, you know, and this is a, you know, this general is not someone to be trifled with just because, I mean, he's kind of an imposing figure, regardless of the rank.
Kind of.
His teeth are really yellow, though. They were as yellow as his badge.
They matched his uniform, didn't they?
Yeah. But, you know, he's also one to throw his weight around, which I find if that's the only way you can get respect is that you have to impress people by who you know and, you know, name checking people and throwing your weight around and your rank and all that kind of stuff. You're really kind of a jerk, in my opinion. Yeah. You know, it's much better to be able to command respect because people actually respect you, I think.
Well, and, sure, that's what you and I think. Because we don't have any commander or respect.
My kids totally do what I say, if it's allowance that is on the line, you know,
or if it's said by my wife.
But and then we had that really great scene. Like I was unsure, like what he, you know, what he kind of had up his sleeve, and however hokey this law is that, you know, for getting punched, he can, you know, stop a transfer prisoner, like he would happen to, you know, just happen to know all this stuff. I thought that was a pretty clever way to keep John from getting transferred. And John has enough trust in Oliver to have picked this guy to, you know, when the guy says, hit me, all, you know, John's like, all right, and just decks him. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That was good. You didn't even question it, huh? No, I can't hit you. I can't. No, he just reached right out. Bam. Yeah, that was good. That was pretty cool. And just the way the general's demeanor changed after he realized exactly what was going on there. He was, he was mad. So there's going to be some wrath there, but ultimately they'll take this guy down because they got to get John clear of the charges so they can start joining the team again legitimately.
Yeah. And then, the other two people on the team, Renee and Curtis, had a couple nice interactions here. I thought this was an interesting healing moment. We got to see a little bit lighter side of Renee, which was cool. And I thought that just having Curtis, you know, deal with some of his grief plus frustration, I thought was really cool.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I was especially pleased that they kept everybody kind of downtrodden from the mid-season finale till now, because it's been so long. And like we said earlier, a lot of times they'll go kind of real time. So
this seemed to pick up. They would have had
They had a month and a half to kind of get over their emotional feelings, but instead it takes place right after, and they would not have been over those emotional feelings. Everybody was feeling down about it.
Yeah, that was really cool. So, and you know, and I kind of got to thinking, Curtis was talking about how he lost Paul and stuff like that. You know, if I had a husband called Mr. Terrific, I think I'd want to hold on to them for all they were worth. I mean, maybe it's just a name, but you know, You never know.
To be honest, if I'd had a husband and they said, hey, look, you can't go out and almost die every night and you got to stop doing this and you're not very good at it anyway, I probably would have gone, all right, you know, we'll stop.
Yeah.
But that's just
don't me. Tell me I'm not good as the blood trickles down your forehead. You know.
Oh, you know what? Hey, let me say something about Curtis real quick. Okay. Thank you. Finally, they are focusing on his skills, his tech, which is how he kind of started, where we thought he was going to go in the first place, you know, what Mr. Terrific has always kind of been as a character in the comics, right? It focused more on his gadgets and things.
Science.
More than his fighting skills, which clearly Curtis just does not have. Yeah. At least not enough to – I mean, he could whoop me, I'm sure, but he doesn't have enough to keep the city safe as at the same level as Oliver does.
Right.
So thank you. I'm glad they got that.
Right. And the whole thing, you know, it's like, you know, play to your strengths. It, you know, if you're not you know, athletic. I mean, he is athletic, as we've seen. But, you know, if you're not a fighter, don't fight. You know, use your
whatever. If they're going to, you know, form this team with Oliver, I want to see people that are different than Oliver. Speedy was fine. You know, Red Arrow, Arsenal, whatever you want to call Roy. I mean, that was fine because Green Arrow traditionally has had those kind of sidekicks. But if you're going to form a team, I want to see people different. I don't want to just see a bunch of people that are fighting in a similar way to Oliver. I wasn't too much of a fan of Evelyn because I didn't think she was really good enough to be
part of the
what,
team.
What that was supposed to be, right?
Yeah.
I'm still. I mean, nothing against Renee or Wild Dog as a character per se. I really don't mind that. But just being as a part of this team, I don't know that it's adding as much as I would like to. I was kind of the same way with Mr. Terrific, unless they kind of go in this direction now. Ragman is just. I mean, he is different. Ragman is definitely different.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's not making that connection with me, but. You know, keep going. That's cool. At least he's different. I like that.
So tell me about this woman that shows up in the flashback. Who is this?
No, in the...
Talia.
At the end. So yes. this is Talia al Ghul.
Okay.
Yes.
Some relationship to Ra's al Ghul, I would guess here, right?
The daughter of Ra's al Ghul.
The other daughter. The first daughter.
Sister. Is it...
Yeah, sister.
Stepsister? Is it...
Older... yeah, stepsister, I think, different mothers.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Older sister
to Nyssa.
Nyssa, yes, thank you.
So,
I dig the outfit. I like the outfit. Yeah.
Yeah, she's got the hood, and the black, got the laurel she's mask.
I was like, oh, my God, it's Zartan. She's got the little knives in her, on her, I don't know, like a strap that goes across her outfit. I don't know, some cool stuff there. Obviously, you know, she's going to be the one to train Oliver in some other techniques here that he picks up. But what's she doing in Russia? And why is she looking for him?
Yeah. Was she actually looking for him?
She says, I've been looking for you.
Oh yeah, I guess so. I guess we do know that.
I was, you know, I mean, I'm not. I'm just kind of reading into this.
That's a stretch, Jake. Come on, really?
Well, come on.
So she's looking for him. Now we knew that he had to eventually get to the League of Assassins, right? Did we know that? Yeah, he knew about the League of Assassins. He knew he has known that since Sarah came back.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he had to have some connection, and this would have been his first one. So how did they get – I don't know. How did they get word of him?
Yeah. Well, maybe through Sarah. Maybe Sarah said, oh, you need to go help – because I'm trying to remember how that all pieced together, because they found her and took her in while he was on the island when he thought he lost her the second time after the Amazo boat. So there's some other stuff going on there. It was interesting. I thought they were going to be using her in the modern day stuff. And the fact that they're putting her in the flashbacks is kind of interesting. Why was she not around in the modern era? So I'm sure there'll be some answers to that, coming up, later this season. Mm. And then I got a little bit confused because then we came back to present day in Hub City and there was a woman that was defending the waitress from two burly biker barroom brawls.
Morons?
Yeah, morons. Morans. and I was like, wait, is this supposed to be Talia? But then she had a canary cry of some kind, and I didn't see any kind of tech on her. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if she's a metahuman or if maybe it's something people can be trained to do. I don't know. It was an interesting tease because they really didn't give us too much of anything to go on other than the fact that, hey, we're looking for a new Black Canary, and cut to a woman that behaves just like Black Canary. So
So how are they going to meet her?
Good question, because she's in Hub City.
Yeah, I mean,
which is home of the question.
There you go. That is a good question.
Why it is a good question, right?
Like I said, they put out an ad.
They said wanted like a Craigslist for superheroes.
Yeah, you know, how loud can you scream? That kind of thing.
Oh, Oliver, I thought you were getting over that. All right. Well, yeah. Bunch of questions there, and guess we'll have to wait till next week to find out who she is. Though I think if you go online, you can find out a little bit about her name. And boy, those producers just really won't shut up. They're just like, oh, hey, let us tell you about what we're doing coming up.
You know
what?
You have to kind of look for some of that stuff, or at least click on it when you see the link. But you can avoid it, I think, if you want to. And if you don't want to, there's a lot of stuff out there for you.
Yeah. Well, we got a little bit of feedback. This is the first thing I've got to say. I've got to say congrats to Greg M. for catching up with us. He's apparently been watching through all the older seasons of Arrow. We got an email where he had just finished season 3. And you know, he's been listening to the Green Justice episodes as he's going along, which is great. He says, I just finished season 3, and I think it's your podcast that will be motivation to keep going because I have loved having some kind of reaction to the old series and episodes that I know are 2 years old. I'm listening to your show, and I forget that these podcasts are that old. They almost apply to present day. So it's pretty cool to think that, you know, we're talking about season 5, episode 10 right now, but somebody could be watching season 2 right now and then listening to our discussions on season 2. He was tweeting us a bunch around Christmas time. I had no idea what this guy was talking about just because, you know.
It was all our old stuff.
Yeah, it was really old stuff. So.
That was awesome.
But
I loved seeing that.
Keeping up with us, yeah.
Yeah, you kind of made me feel like maybe all these years of doing this stuff does serve a bit of a purpose, you know, over time. I mean, I know from week to week, we talk to a lot of people each week, but that was pretty cool.
Especially if you're like, you know, you're binging on the show, but then you're also binging on, you know, a podcast about the show. That's pretty cool. We appreciate that. Thank you. And then we got a note from Jason in Colorado, and he said, just finished the 4-episode crossover. So this, we got this before the end of last year. Loved it, but I thought they missed an opportunity to include another member of the JLA from Supergirl, Martian Manhunter. Yes, time was of the essence for Barry and Cisco to get Supergirl back across the breach, but it would have been great to include John. Thoughts? Keep up the great work and love the shows. That would be cool, and maybe they're going to save that for a future crossover, because it'll be awesome to get everybody back in the Hall of Justice. And if they can get, in a future crossover, John Jones, Vibe, Steel from Legends of Tomorrow, and Vixen and Gypsy together. That is the core team from the Detroit Detroit era JLA from the mid 80s, right before they got canceled with Crisis on Infinite Earth. So,
yeah, that would be neat. So, I did notice that. I thought it stood out that John wasn't there, but, you know. They had so much in there, and they had a lot of special effects that they had to do. And I think there's quite a bit that goes into doing John.
Sometimes I think that it's just the actor with a mask on and a costume, and other times it's CG. I'm really not sure exactly what they're using to pull that off, and maybe it's a mix of techniques, and that's why I keep thinking that. But yeah, definitely a lot of. Lot of special effects go into John Jones there.
Yeah.
So we also had some references in this episode. One that was really conspicuous just because they didn't really explain it at all was when Rory mentions that Prometheus appeared to be a Dybbuk. I can't remember exactly how that was pronounced.
I think you're right.
I had to look this up. It's a mischievous spirit from Jewish folklore. And it was, you know, it's basically like a poltergeist or, you know, some jerky ghost, I guess, or something like that.
and he inhabits other people or something like that. Isn't that what he does?
I think he can do that. Yeah. I don't know. I have never met him.
Well, no, I had to look it up too, because I didn't know. I had to actually, I had to turn on my, closed captions to see how it was spelled.
D-Y-B-B-U-K.
Yeah.
It's, Yiddish, I believe. So, Cisco or, sorry, Cisco, Curtis, getting my, too many characters with the same.
Start with C. That's okay.
Letters in their name. Described Prometheus when you know what he did to Earth 2 Laurel to break her head. He said that he Henry Higginsed her, obviously referencing My Fair Lady, where Henry Higgins teaches Eliza Doolittle how to speak proper English.
Yes, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain. I was in that play.
Really?
Yes, in high school. I still remember all my lines.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. The horses are leaving the paddock, Mr. Higgins.
That was
all my lines. That was all my lines. That's the only thing I said. That's
wow. That's pretty good. And then we've got two new arrows to add to the, well, maybe one. Definitely the diazepam arrow. That's a pretty useful one. Yep.
And then, especially if you're really stressed out, you know.
Oh, I just need this. So, and you called it a bungee cord arrow, but I think it might just be the like the wire wrap arrow, like they had back in season one. He had used some arrows to like in the one with the Royal Flush Gang. He fired it at their bags, and it kind of cable tied the bag to
kind
the
of wrapped them up.
To the floor, or yeah, something like that. So
yeah, it was almost like a bolo arrow, or you know,
a bolo arrow. Yeah, yeah. I think that's a better definition there.
I just still think he was bungee cording Prometheus's arm. That's why.
I didn't know what to call it. And then Renee calls Black Siren Trinity at one point, probably just due to her long leather-ish coat, making her look very much like Trinity from The Matrix.
That was a good one. I like that one.
Yeah. So. Well, I think that pretty much covers most of the stuff we wanted to talk about. Anything else you want to say before we leave this episode of Arrow?
No. All I want you to do is give me your obedience. That's it.
Oh, who are you again? So, well, anyway, that's all we've got for this week's episode of Green Justice. Thanks for joining us, and welcome back to the back half of the season, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, and if you enjoyed this episode or any of the previous 4 years episodes that we have done, we would love to have some feedback from you on iTunes. But we would also like to hear from you personally. So, you know, just send us an email at greenjustice@randomchatter.com, or you can visit our Twitter feed at greenjusticepod, and of course our Facebook page, facebook.com/greenjusticepodcast.
And you can also check out the other shows that Josh and I host here at randomchatter.com, including Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files and Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. All the shows are available in the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And there are a bunch of other shows at Random Chatter if you guys are interested in other things, in movies, random things, gaming, Star Wars. There's a little bit of music. There's a little something for everybody there. And if you're enjoying our podcast, please be sure to tell your friends about us. We'd love to let new people in and have them catch up with us as well. And remember, if you don't keep listening, you have failed this city.
This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for Arrow can be found at www.cwtv.com. Green Arrow, Arrow, and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.